Yeshua, Yeshua good. Yeshua, you are good, God. Yes, you are. Come on, let's tell him he's good. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are so good. You are. Yes, you are good. Yes, you are. Yes, God, we thank you that you are ever faithful. You're so good to us, God. Even when we don't deserve it, God, you are still good. Even in times when we can't seem to see where your hand is working, you are still good. Thank you, Lord, for being ever faithful and always good to us. You said in your word you want nothing but good things for your kids. And we're your kids, God. And we thank you for your faithfulness and how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It is a good morning. If you can go ahead and have a seat. And thank you, worship team. Thank you guys so much. I don't know about you guys, but I could just sit here and listen and just completely dwell in the Lord's presence, just listening to them. Thank you. I hope everyone is having a good weekend so far and I'm enjoying this Sunday morning weather. It is my favorite. I know I had told some people that the kids and I were gone this weekend. Sorry. No, you're good, Alyssa. You're good. You're good. No, you're fine. The kids and I were gone this weekend, this week, I should say. We were in Oceanside, and we get down to Oceanside, and it is just pouring rain, just pouring. And I was like, great, we're not going to be able to do anything. We're going to be stuck indoors, So the first day, it's raining and pouring, and we're, just kind of hanging out as a family. And then the next 2 days, we were there till Wednesday, and the next 2 days were just absolutely gorgeous. They were beautiful. Like the sun was out and it was perfect temperature weather. It wasn't even hot. It was just, it was so nice. And then I call Matt and he tells me on Thursday, it was raining pretty bad out here, right? Thursday night into Friday. And I was like, so all that rain, just we sent it up here so that we could have the sun down there. So there you go. You're all of that to tell you, you're welcome. Well, we're from Ventura, and even though I'm still somewhat new here, heat is not fun out here. I've noticed people kind of fall apart. Yeah, it's not fun anywhere, you're right, but, we're just very spoiled here. So Matt gets to teach the kids in the back this morning, so I'm sure he's going to have a lot of fun back there, and the kids are probably going to have a lot of fun. I don't know who's going to end up having more fun, if him or the kids. Yeah, he's just he's my big man child, which is good. Yeah, I know. It's good. It'll keep him young for a very long time. But we are going to continue in our series of Nehemiah, and we're in chapter 12 this morning. And chapter 12 is a fun chapter because it's a chapter on initiation. I don't know if any of you have experienced an initiation of sorts. I know Matt and I, when we had met being the youth leaders at our previous church, and in order, it was kind of like an unsaid thing that in order to be part of the new like youth leaders, you kind of had to be initiated in. And so they decided that for Matt and I, I don't know, who likes hot dog on a stick? Or specifically their lemonade? I love their lemonade is amazing. I could just, it's terrible. I drank so much of that when I was pregnant with London. I would bought the big souvenir cup, you know, that you can take in and refill, the giant one. Yeah, I was there almost daily. It's terrible. Well, their lemonade is made, they make it with this stuff called Stuff. I guess they named it Stuff. It's the Stuff. And what it is it's pure citric acid, just pure untainted citric acid to make their giant things of lemonade. And they use this tiny itty-bitty bit for their, I don't know how many, what, like 5 gallons maybe. Well, they decided that, the rest of the youth staff decided that our initiation in was to basically take a shot of that citric acid, the stuff. And I don't know if being the girl, and I had grown up in this church, I don't know why I was being initiated in. I'd been there since I was like 10. I don't know if they were like, Patty, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Well, you don't tell me that in front of everyone. So I'm like, no, I'm just as tough as everyone else. Like, I'm going to do it. I don't care. and so I was like, I'll do it too. So they give us, they ask for, you know, they go and ask for the stuff, and they give it to you in a little Dixie cup, like teeny tiny, and we decided to do it at the same time, Matt and I. And so I don't think I'll ever forget the sensation my body went through after drinking that. The second it hit my mouth, all my teeth, you know how when your teeth are sensitive, it's not really your teeth per se, it's like your gums kind of thing, and the nerve endings there. Okay, my teeth hurt, like my actual teeth hurt so bad as soon as it hit my mouth. I could feel it, like the process of it going down, and it just felt like everything was melting on its way down. I remember swallowing and being like, why the heck did I just do this? And Matt was trying to be all Mr. Tough Guy, and he was just like, yeah, no big deal. And I know inside he was like, oh my God. You know, like the cartoons when the cartoons eat something spicy and then it's like fire and like smoke coming out of their ears, it felt like that. So initiations are meant to be fun for everyone else and funny, except for the person being initiated in. My youth group was just very, thinking back on all these stories, I'm like, we were a very interesting group. The seniors would initiate the freshmen in every summer camp. And it was something the freshmen did not look forward to. And I remember one year, it was just pretty bad that they ended up stopping it after that. Like, our youth pastor was like, you guys, like, this is all funny, but we need to stop. All the seniors would take the freshmen, and the seniors would bring in, like, the most random clothes and things, outfits for the freshmen to wear, and would make them do just awkward things in public, make them eat just gross, like, concoctions of food and drink. And if somebody gave a signal, like, the freshman assigned to them had to, like, maybe stand up in front of everyone on a table and, like, shout something out just because. It was really embarrassing. And I remember when I was in eighth grade thinking, next year that's going to be me. And thankfully, that's when our youth pastor stopped. So I didn't have to be initiated as a freshman, which I'm very thankful for. You know, but it's the same concept as fraternities and sororities. You know, you hear the stories of being pledged in. I was never part of one, so I don't know. But the whole concept behind a fraternity and sorority is it's a group of people coming together and uniting over, like, a common interest, a common major, or, you know, things like that. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, Nehemiah chapter 12, and how God basically was going to initiate this group of people that we've been, you know, studying about the last couple weeks into his society. the initiation is that very moment where you now say, I am part of this group. I've been accepted in. I'm part of this tribe, this elite group of people. And there's a sense of pride in that, you know, like you see, like the fraternity and sorority members be very proud of the group that they are a part of. And so as we continue in chapter 12, I think if we get the first slide up, it's Nehemiah 12, and we start at verse 27. Verses 1 through 26 are basically a list of people's names that most of them I can't pronounce. We all make fun of Matt, but you know you can't pronounce him either, so. and as you turn there, I'm going to go ahead and start off with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the rain. I thank you for the, as refreshing as it is to all of us, Lord, would your spirit be just as refreshing to us this morning? Heavenly Father, would I just be a vessel? Would you just use my voice? And would it be your words coming through me, Lord? Holy Spirit, I invite you to be here and move. Lord, we want a move and a change and a transition in our hearts, Lord, to be open and ready to receive what the word that you have for us this morning and to act upon it, Lord. And so we thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27 says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netites. Those people from Beth Gilgal and from the area of Geba and Asmaveth. For the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and the Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the well. So verse 30 again, it says, verse 30 says, when the priests and the Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So the first thing that happens there is a purification, they purify. And within that purification, the first thing the people did was dedicate the wall. Now Matt has explained how the wall is what, a protection, it's a guard, right? It's what guards our hearts to maintain that worship that the Lord has fired up inside of us to continue worshiping the Lord. So that wall is that guard. So they're going to purify and dedicate this wall. Now, dedication in Hebrew means to initiate a house, the initiation of a house. And so here, as we know, we consider our house is not necessarily the building itself, just like how a church is not the building. It is not the four walls. It is not the beams. It is not the windows. It's the people. That is the church. And so that is the house. It's initiation of a house. And in order to do that, the Lord needed specific people, and these were the Levites. So the Levites were brought from their own personal homes and brought to God's home, and they served there. So and not only were the Levites brought in, but the musicians as well, as we read earlier in that verse. Now here's, if we rewind and you go back, way back to the original Levi, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi, his family, they were appointed to be basically the servants in the temples, in the churches. And so for some of them, that meant living in the temple. They were there to serve, to bring in the sacrifices, to make sure nobody stepped into the Holy of Holies or else they would die, that whole deal. And so the Lord needed the Levites to be able to use them to dedicate the house. So we're going to keep that in mind. And so the Holy Spirit, just like how, again, go back to how what Matt has been teaching, how Nehemiah represents the Holy Spirit, right? And then the wall is that guard around us, like I said, to protect us from the worship. And there's that fire inside of our hearts that the whole purpose for this wall and why the importance of the dedication is there is in order to protect that so that we can continue to move forward, to not be discouraged, but to press on and move forward into what the Lord has for our lives. And within that, if we take each of our lives individually, I don't think it's coincidental that we have the giftings that we have that the Lord has given us, or the desires that the Lord puts in our hearts. So, for example, I know we have a lot of teachers here as part of our church. I don't think it's coincidental that the Lord has given you these giftings to teach children. And it's so much more, the big picture is so much more than that. It's not just to raise children to be productive members of society, educated, you know, intelligent. It's not just that. It's not limited to that. It's so much more. The Lord has given teachers such a unique ministry field that as teachers, you are a voice that these kids have nowhere else in their lives. And I'm sure you each have stories of stories upon stories of kids who have broken your hearts because of their situations at home. Kids who have made you want to yank your hair out. and to top it all off, the Lord has given you that heart for that child anyway to say, you just are there to love them. Because they're not receiving that love at home. They're not receiving that encouragement at home. That's part of your skill set and your giftings in that ministry field. And it's the same in every other workplace that we may have. Whether it be being a cashier in a supermarket, you're encountering people. Whether it's customer service on the phone, you're encountering people. And the Lord's given us those skill sets, not just to use them in the workplace, but to be able to minister to those around us. Now, yes, again, going back to the teacher example, it's not like you can sit with your whole class and hold hands and pray, you know, but the Lord gives you those little tidbits of ways to minister. And so all of that to say is just that if the Lord has put these things in your heart or desires, for example, I know reaching out to the homeless. I know, Miranda, that has been something huge on your heart. That's what this dedication is all about. It's dedicating, initiating, and the Lord's initiating it so that we can make that further move to step out and say, okay, it's like a ribbon-cutting ceremony. You know, the building's there. It's upright and it's ready to go. There's that red tape right in front, and there's just someone needed to cut the ribbon and say, we are open for business. And that's that dedication moment. That's the point where the Lord needs, he wants us to say, Lord, here I am with the scissors, ready to cut the tape, ready to say, here, Father, I am open for business. Use me. Use me in these areas. I'm dedicating it to you. Because ultimately, the Lord has done all the work. He has erected that building up. And we are the workers. We are the ones that need to step forward and say, okay, God, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to dedicate this to you and move forward in this. And so how do we dedicate the Holy Spirit in our lives? What does that look like? Number one, just like these group of people did, we have to purify ourselves. And this is where it gets really fun for me. The word purify has a very deep meaning. We know that when people work with precious metals, for example, gold, a purification process needs to happen in order to remove all the impurities. The more impurities that are removed, the greater the worth of this precious metal, of the gold, let's say. And it's the same way the Lord is like that with us. The Lord is that fiery furnace, and in this sense, it's a good sense of a fiery furnace, where he works in us to remove all those impurities in our lives so that we can be that precious metal. Now, with that, there's something so important, so special. I felt like as I was going through all the notes last night again, the Holy Spirit just showed me that a lot of times we can't get past this process because we don't consider ourselves gold in the first place. We sometimes sit back and think, Lord, I'm not even... There's so much junk in there, there's not even a hint of gold anymore. We can have that attitude or just the attitude of, well, I don't really need to go through that process. There isn't much greater that the Lord has for me to do. And we shoot ourselves in the foot. We cheat ourselves out of something just so great that our Father has for us. And now here's the other thing we need to remember with that is that the Lord is the furnace. And if we have the Lord are our King of Kings, the one who sent his son to die on the cross because of his love for us, if he's the one refining us, oh my goodness, we know that it's going to be completely out of love. That it's not going to be something we're going to be dreading to go through. Allow him to remove those impurities from your heart, from your life, so that you can be that precious metal, that 100% pure gold. And secondly, after purifying ourselves, then we need to purify those under us and around us. Now, this one's a tricky one because we don't want to sit around pointing out everybody else's impurities. That is not what we're called to do. We are not the furnace. That's God's job. Our job is to lead them to the Lord, to be able to say, hey, I went through this process where the Lord has purified me and has set ablaze this passion for what he has in my life. Please have the same. Please go do the same. And it's our job to point them to Jesus. That is all. It is not our job to point out the impurities or try to take them out ourselves, which at times it's hard to sit back and let God do that. Or it's hard to sit back and not tell God, Lord, you got to take care of some business over here. And so that's how we purify those around us. We are not the furnace. We are just there to love others and point them to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of them. The Lord will purify them the same way he has us. See, we have to purify the gates. Now, gates, if you notice in people's homes, they'll have fences or gates in front of their homes. And what is the purpose of a gate? Exactly right. And so we set up these gates around our homes as a form of protection, of saying, okay, I am allowing this to enter, but a gate works both ways. And so we do have to send some things out. And so here is a way to purify your home and your family is to take a check and say, what are the things in my home, in my family that need to be taken out? There is stuff that just needs to be taken out. And it's for the sake of protecting your family. There are things that are just, and we all know what they are in our own families. But that gate is also there then to when those things are sent out, we have the authority to shut it and say, okay, none of this needs to come in again. And yet when the Lord has things for our lives and we have that same authority to be able to open those gates and say, this is what we are welcoming into our home, into our family. And a lot of times I know being that women are, the Lord has designed women to be the nurturers of the family. A lot of times it's women who kind of take on that role. And I just want to take a moment to remind men too, like that's just as much men's job to be able to say, no, this is not for my family. I'm going to stand here and protect my home and my house. I'm going to be standing at the gates to be able to protect them in our lives. Then we move on to D. There's a purification of the wall. Now, the wall is a little bit different from the gate, being that it's a permanent, it's a boundary. It's not necessarily a protection, per se, of what comes in and out, but it's a boundary. There's more permanence there. It's those things that are just the non-negotiables. Just like how the Lord had them had the wall around the people as a it's a permanent boundary. And we have to keep in mind that boundaries are good. They're good things. I know that well, my children are not teenagers yet, and I'm dreading that phase. but we all know, we hear that children need boundaries. They want the boundaries. They push buttons because they want to know how far they can go. But yet at the same time, they want those boundaries to feel safe, to feel protected. So boundaries are good. And the Lord puts those in our lives to say, this is as far as we can go before your life is just completely ruined. And a lot of times we see those boundaries and we think, like a teenager, the more you tell me no, the more I'm going to want to do it. You know, and I know we have all been there in different ways, shapes, and forms, or currently experiencing children in our lives who are pushing those boundaries and saying, no, this is as far as I want to go, and then you're sitting back thinking, but you're going to die. you know, and so it's those moments where I've worked, and I say that because I've worked with teenagers in counseling. I was a high school therapist for a while before we moved out here. And there'd be so many teenagers, they'd come in and they'd be like, oh, my parents just want to ruin, they would literally use these words. They're just ruining my life. And they would just complain and complain. And I'm like, well, what are they doing? Like, they took away my phone for a week. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Like, and then the mom and me wanted to come out and it was hard for me to keep that boundary of mom therapist there. That wanting to just kind of shake them up and just be like, stop being stupid. So that's why I say I don't look forward to the teenage years. So if maybe some of you want to shake up my kids too sometimes when they're teens, please do so that I'm not the only bad guy. So they won't completely hate me. I'm just kidding. So that wall was the permanent boundary. And the Lord set those, he sets those boundaries in our lives so that we would live our lives without fear. If we go past the boundaries, it's going into the unknown and it's going into territory that we shouldn't be going into because the Lord has said, no, this is where it is good. This is where it is safe. This is where you can take those risks and succeed because I am here by your side. We go to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 31. Look at that. It says, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall, and I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. Hushai and the half leaders of Judah followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, as well as some of the priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zachar, the son of Asaph, and his associates. Shemaiah, Azarel, Malali. So all the names, Judah and Hanani, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps to the city of David on the ascent to the wall and passed above the site of David's palace to the water gate on the east. So here's it's the description of the boundaries. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall, together with half the people, past the tower of the ovens to the broad wall. Over the gate of Ephraim, the Jeshanah gate, the fish gate, Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundreds as far as the Sheep Gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God, and so did I, together with half the officials, as well as the priests, and also more names, let's see. And the choir sang under the direction of Jezrehiah. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And that leads us to point number two. I feel like Matt with all these points within points. Point number two is community. So in these last verses we just read, it's not only talking about the boundaries that the Lord had laid out, but he made it a point to actually name people, to point out their names. And that, I feel like, is also a reason to point out that it wasn't just one person that went out to do all these things. It wasn't one or two. Because not only did it point specific names, but it kept saying, and the associates, and the officials. So you can only begin to imagine, I mean, an entire choir was sent out. We'll get to that in a minute. But the point is that the Lord wants us to do things in community. We're not being sent out alone. We're supposed to be sent out and have passion and a drive to do things, but to join in with like-minded people, with like passions, and do things together. Because one person, I mean, one person can build a building in, what, maybe years by themselves? But it takes a group of people to be able to get the job done and done right and done well and done maybe a little bit faster even. And so the Lord he's designed us to be that way, to enjoy being in community with others, to accomplish what he has set into our hearts. So what happens when you decide to join with a community of people in unity? This points us, brings us to subpoint A, which is there is purpose. You gain purpose. You're craving a purpose when you're in these groups of people. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been part of like, or friends who get together and get all excited and pumped up to do something. It could be anything. It could be, I don't know, like cliff diving. I know my brother and his friends, they found a place where they could go hike, and it led to a waterfall, and I guess it's a pretty popular spot to do some like cliff diving into the water. There have been, that place got closed for a season because so many kids were getting hurt doing that. And so sure enough, there goes my brother and his buddies, and I think there's like about five of them, a little crew of five of them, all 20-year-olds. Nothing against 20-year-olds, Jay. But there you, so I'm just giving you so you could imagine this image of these young guys all thinking this is all fun and games, and I'm sure all their mothers are dying at home, those who knew what they were going to do. So they climb up, my brother was telling us this story, they climb up to the top and they all start jumping one at a time, right? And of course there's always like the one guy who's like, I'm going to go first, and he's like super pumped up, full of adrenaline. So he jumps in and he swims out, and yeah, right? So they're cheering each other on as they each keep jumping in. So my brother was second last to go. He jumps in, and he said that as soon as he hit the water, it was almost like he blacked out for a second. I forget how high this jump is, but if it's been closed before, you can only imagine it's because it's dangerously high. So he jumps, hits the water, blacks out, he says, for like a second, and then realizes he's underwater, so, you know, swims up and out, and he says, to top it all off, the water's freezing, and I think they went sometime in spring. Then his best friend was the last one to go. Something happened when he was jumping. I guess he angled, and he didn't belly flop, which probably would have been better at this point. He landed, like, sitting in the water, which ended up messing up his back. I think he like dislocated something or some disc shifted or whatever. He's been going to like physical therapy for this because of that. But the point of that story is because when we're in a group of people, we can get pumped up and do things sometimes without thinking, but we get that excitement to do things together. It's not fun if you go by yourself up on a hike and jump into the water. Like, I'm sure that could be very cathartic for some, but it's tons more fun when you're doing it with a group of people who are just excited as you are to make that jump. You know, and the Lord is just, it baffles me how God designs us with these like little bits in our lives of craving community, of craving to be part of something. And then B, we get direction. As you gain movement with that purpose in unity, you'll not only know what you need to do, but you'll actually want to start doing it. It's almost like that itch that you can't scratch of just, I just want to get this started. I want to get it off the ground. I want to get it out of my head and my heart and actually out into the world and contribute. And let's get this started. And then C, we rejoice. And so this brings us back to the whole reason why these choirs were there that we were reading about, why the choir got sent out as well. There's part of this whole process of initiating our lives and dedicating what the Holy Spirit is doing that leads us to want to rejoice, to want to praise God, to come together and just cheer. I mean, it's why you go to concerts and you see people cheering and raising their hands and singing along. There's that unity. These people are all coming together to watch a band or musicians that they admire and love and enjoy, and that again, it's adrenaline. It's the vibes there that get everyone so excited to join in, to scream and shout and dance around and everything. And it all comes from, again, from that unity, from that communion with other people and that community of people. But we experience that as well in a supernatural way with the Lord. It's a desire of just wanting to praise God and just thanking him for the incredible things that he is doing, the incredible things that you see coming up in your life, and you see, my goodness, that could only be the Lord. In those times where we feel like we've hit rock bottom, and yet there's that glimmer of hope, and for some reason you can actually be excited. And there's no logical explanation for that excitement in that moment other than it being the Lord. Other than God saying, we are going to do this together and we are going to press forward. And it's entering into that supernatural praise that enables the Lord to be able to continue his movement, to continue his work in us. Because we're actually coming at it from a position of victory, if that makes sense, of proclaiming that victory in our lives before it's even there, rather than defeat, rather than staying there and just saying, you know what, there's no point. And that's why worship is just so profound, of being able to, in song, be able to rejoice and thank God. I think music, I mean, this is a whole other thing, but music is, I feel like the Lord has placed that in our DNA. In such a very specific way, down to, and I can get technical, even though I'm not a musician, so I don't even know what I'm talking about, but down to technical, like, you know, beats and rhythms and numbers. I feel like there's something connected with our DNA in that. And it's not an accident, that the Lord meant for it to be that way. Read Nehemiah 12, verse 44. Excuse me. It says, at the time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits and tithes. From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of God, of their God, and the service of purification, as did also the musicians and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. So here, if we go back to verse 30, when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people and the gates and the wall. So we're continuing in that purification process, and part of that is also offering. It's the final aspect of the initiation that God calls us to offer up three things found in verse 44 through 47. And these three things are found within people. So 44 through 47, what we just read, these are the three things. First, A, is worship. Again, God desires our worship as an offering to who he is. Part of worship and being able to proclaim who God is forces us to not focus on ourselves. To be able to set aside everything that we are going through, everything in our minds, and be able to stand there and focus on the Lord and give him our full worship and saying, God, no matter what junk I'm going through, I'm going to stand here and worship you anyway. And it's not over, and it's not just over the things that he has already done, but it's being able to proclaim over what he's going to do. There's such a power in that. Ollie had gotten a really bad cough earlier this week, to the point where he's coughing and coughing to her, he would make himself throw up in the middle of the night of all hours. So I couldn't sleep. And I remember being so tired one night, and he was sleeping next to me, so just in case he did throw up, I was right there. And I remember being so tired and saying, Lord, it's like, you are God. You have the ability to heal my son, and I have the authority to proclaim it over his life. And I remember being half asleep, sort of delirious, and just saying, I have that authority, Lord. He is no longer sick. And just repeating that over and over again. And at that moment, Oliver's coughing just stopped. He did not cough the rest of the night. I was like, thank you, Lord. Not just because he's not coughing, but because then I was able to sleep. But we realize we have that authority. We have the authority to thank God in advance for what he's going to do. Because he is faithful, because we know he doesn't lie, we know it's going to happen. And it's on us now to initiate, to begin to dedicate our lives and saying, Lord, I am going to walk in that because I will receive that from you. And so that's part of our offering. It is our worship and being able to say, Lord, you are good and you are faithful, and I will receive these things in my life because of that. Be the gatekeeper. God desires you to offer up yourself as a guard over your life and those around you. And as gatekeepers, like I said, it's not just, and I know I said it's like men in families, but it's everyone. As gatekeepers of standing there and protecting what comes in and what goes out, our job is to pray. And I think sometimes we forget the power of prayer. Sometimes we kind of go through the motions like we're on autopilot. And we pray because we know we're supposed to. And it is heartfelt in those moments, but sometimes we forget, again, the authority that we have in our prayers of being able to speak these things, to speak God's word over our own lives and over our families' lives and over our friends' lives and coworkers' lives. Everyone, we have that authority to speak those things into their lives, and we forget the power that we have in that. We're the gatekeepers, and we're supposed to stand there and protect through our prayers ourselves and those around us. And then C is the church. Our community cannot function if we don't all contribute towards the same vision. If everyone is on a different plane, we're not going to get anywhere. And again, I feel like it's not an accident. The people that are here and part of this church, a part of Lighthouse community, the Lighthouse community, there are all similar desires and passions that the Lord has put in our hearts. So I don't think it's an accident that we come together, because then when we actually come together, there's so much that we can do for the Lord, because we have that same drive, that same passion, that same desire and vision that the Lord has placed over us. Starting here at Lighthouse and then expanding out towards our community over Ventura, over the county. And so when we look back on Nehemiah chapter 12, and if you go home and read through it again, it's a chapter of a group of people who God initiates and says, you are now part of this tribe. You are now part of this community. Now go forth. Go forth and work together in community. Purify yourselves and those around you. Stand guard at the gate. Know where your boundaries are. And go forward. And there should be such an excitement. And that's why I was saying that there's a purpose and a reason for the choir to have been present for all of this. Because in the midst of it all, we need to be worshiping our God and saying, Lord, you are great in the midst of it all. When the enemies come to the gates, when they get past those boundaries and they come to the gates, you are in the midst of it all. And we can stand firm. And through this whole process, just praise and worship God for that. Thanking him for his move, because he is faithful, because he does show up. So would I encourage you, I as a church, would we be able to come together in community with each other? And I know we do it already, and it goes without saying, but would we just always keep that in mind, that it's not just going through the motions because we help and volunteer, and that's all nice and fine and dandy, but there's a greater purpose behind it all. You know, our Halloween night, tomorrow night, we're not doing it just because we should do it, because it's fun to see kids, you know, get all excited over the candy loot that they get. And we're coming together as a community of people who want to love on the greater community right outside, literally outside our front door. And a way that we can do that is just by loving on them tomorrow night, handing out candy of giving smiles, of saying, hey, thanks for coming. We're so glad you're here. Here, take some more candy. Give your kids tons of cavities. So we just keep that in mind when we do things together as a church. We don't do them just because we're supposed to, because that's what a church does. There is that greater vision, and I know Matt shares with it all the time, of just reaching out into this community of being the lighthouse. And I know we've had guest speakers even come and speak that over us, of we are the lighthouse. It's not just a name, but it's an identity that we now have in this community. And it just reminds me, that just reminds me of, I know when we first moved out here, the neighbors all contributed. It was the neighbors who helped contribute to get that the cross lit. So whenever I think of our name and I realize, man, that light, I don't know if you guys have seen it really at night, it shines right into London's window. it's bright. You can see it from the freeway. You know, and whenever I do see it and I acknowledge like that it's there and that it's on, I just think, man, you know, like there is that craving. The community is craving it. And we need to be the ones to point them to Jesus. We're going through the refinement. We're going through the furnace. And the Lord is handling our impurities. And the part of the reason why he does that is so that we can then go out and say, this is what I have been through and this is what God has done for me. Please do the same. Please allow the Lord to do the same. And we do that by just loving on others. Like I said, we're not the furnace. We are just the ones that point them in the direction, point everyone else in that direction. So as we come to a close, would you just be encouraged with me that God is doing something greater and that we are meant to be stepping forward as a community together to achieve the vision that God has placed? And even though we may feel like that, like our own elite group of people, would we be constantly aware that the Lord constantly wants to initiate new people in? And we are here to welcome them and say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're all about. And we're so glad. More the merrier. The more we can get done, the more we can reach, the faster this building can be built, figuratively. So yeah, so would you all just, would you join me in prayer as we close the worship team? If somebody can come, or well, I guess Alyssa. if you could just play a little bit, oh, we close in prayer. No, you're good. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you because you're a God who just wants to see us succeed. Lord, who has designed our lives in such a way that we could function in a community, that we would desire to do that. Lord, that even though sometimes it's good to have that alone time, we also recognize the importance of being part of a group of people. And so we thank you, Father, for the work that you have begun already. And Lord, I pray for those who haven't fully acknowledged that craving of being part of a community. Lord, would you just make it clear to them that that's what it is? That it's being able to step out and say, you know, I do want to be a part of this, and this is what has kind of been missing from my life. And so we thank you, Father, for the things that you have already begun and are continuing to do. And then finally, Lord, I especially pray for those who think that they're not that precious gold, that precious metal. For those who think that there has just been no hope, or that it's not for them, or that it just seems so impossible. Lord, would your tenderness just completely flood them and overwhelm them today, knowing that they are a precious metal that just needs to be refined a little. Lord, and that this refinement process is not scary, that it is not a process of judgment, Lord. And so I also pray for those who are currently going through that purification process. Would it be done, Lord, with just such an excitement? And would people just be encouraged, Lord, that as this, that they would know that in this process, all the impurities are being taken out, are being removed. Lord, that you serve as our gatekeeper as well, and that you know what needs to be allowed in and what needs to be taken out, Lord. And would we gladly give those things up? Would we remember, Father, that those impurities are not supposed to be there, and that when they are gone, we can be 100% pure? Lord, and that there's just such a joy in life in knowing that, in knowing that you want to take that out, not because you want to judge us or condemn us, Father, but because you want to see us live a life that is complete and whole. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you because you are God and you're just so great and you love us so much that you would care to make all these things just come together in our lives. And would we join alongside with those around us and build each other up? Would we be able to jump on board with the same vision of knowing we are here to reach your people, Lord? And do that with hearts full of love, ready to offer that up as well, Lord. Not just to you, but to those around us. And so we thank you for that, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the lives of those that we will be reaching. I specifically pray for the people who will be coming in and out and stopping by here tomorrow night as they're trick-or-treating. As parents don't even realize that they're taking their kids to just get some candy and have some fun and enjoy the night, Lord, but that they will also be receiving your love in the process. And would they be dumbfounded by it? That's my prayer for tomorrow. And so I thank you that you have given each of us who will be volunteering just a passion and a heart for your people to love them, to give them that dumbfounding love. And so we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, for showing up and going above and beyond every single time. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue to move forward with our service, thank you, Alyssa. It's such a pleasure always having you here.
Thanks.
It's just, there is a sweetness about you and the way that you play and the way that you sing that just, that alone is a blessing, Alyssa. So thank you so, so much for that alone. And then just your talent and skill, woman, you are amazing.
Thank you.